Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Welcome to Elder Care Radio. This morning, you know, we were thinking about our history here. We've been hosting Elder Care Radio on KDXU every Wednesday morning since March. And when Cherry Creek Media first approached us to do this, because they had heard what we were trying to accomplish and they wanted to spread that word throughout the community, we were hesitant. Is that a good word?
Hesitant's good.
Yeah. Well, actually, we just flat turned them down and said, no, we don't want to be on the radio. And then the very next week, Ike shows up again at our office and tries to convince us that
It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
That our vision for what hospice could be and our understanding of palliative care was something that every senior in the community needed to know. And again, we said no. He came back three straight weeks, and you know, I finally came back the last time and explained how important it was that everybody in Southern Utah have that understanding, and that's where how we got started in this this program.
Yes, I never wanted to be on the radio, that's for sure, but we have been so blessed, and we appreciate everyone's support and encouragement. We've loved talking to many of you and being given the opportunity to help in the most important times in people's lives. We've gotten to know and love our patients so much. We love and appreciate their caregivers and their families. We're so thankful that we are here in Southern Utah and that you have accepted us into your homes.
Yeah, and we really have enjoyed the pleasure of talking to those who have called us on what is now the easiest telephone number in Southern Utah.
Can I do it?
Please, Andy, go ahead.
435-477, that's on the left side of your keyboard, and 6999. So 435-477-6999. I love it.
That's yep. Right. And if you imagine the keyboard, it's just down the left and then down the right.
Right. And not only those people who have called us, but as we've been in the community and people have talked to us and they tell us they recognize, you know, our voices off the radio, which is really uncomfortable for us, realizing that people are listening to this radio program.
And you do get used to it.
So we really appreciate, you know, your kind words and support. And we also thank you for spreading the information that we've been providing each week. When we get a call from somebody that starts with, I was talking to someone that heard you on the radio, that certainly indicates that our message is getting out. And we appreciate all of you for what you do.
Richard actually had somebody say, whoa, wait a second, I recognize your voice. Are you the one that does the radio?
Yeah, and again, a little red-faced, a little discomfort, not where we expected to be in our, you know.
You didn't get the, hey, you sound skinnier on the radio. I've gotten that one a few times.
Well, I've gotten the, oh my gosh, I did not expect you to look like that.
I don't know what that means. Is that a compliment or an insult? I don't know.
Right. Yeah, and we couldn't bring ourselves to ask the question because it would have just hurt our feelings, I'm sure. So so we really hope that we are bringing information to you every week that makes it worth your time that you've committed to listening to this radio program.
Right, COVID good news?
Yeah, let's do some COVID good news.
First, the election's over.
Woo!
So maybe it'll be...
Well, not yet.
Well, it's not over, is it?
Not over.
2 weeks, let's see, a week of counting and possibly well into November.
Yeah, who knows if it goes to the courts and stuff, who knows?
Okay, but...
But all the hype about the election, all the advertising, all of the, you know, media frenzy is...
I know, the poor media, they're going to be bored.
Yeah.
But maybe
we have nothing to do.
Maybe this the COVID will become just a little less of a political argument, and we hope the fear mongering will go away. That's for sure. Yes, there are spikes as expected. This is winter. We expected this to happen, but let's just focus on the positive. I like to say first and foremost, focus on the recovery rate, which is 99.75%, which means that even the elderly and immune compromised are recovering in a very large percentage. And we have new methods of treatment and a vaccine coming. So let's not focus on those things that bring us anxiety and shut us in our homes and give us the fear of, you know, hugging our loved ones. Let's focus on the positive and the good, and let's get back to enjoying life.
Right. And as far as the news goes, I've been watching a lot of news over the last 24 hours. Andy, I know you have.
Just a bit.
I didn't hear almost anything about COVID for that whole, 24-hour news cycle. So that could be a bellwether event for us. Things may be changing. And the truth is, I spent some time this week drafting a whole discussion about all the aspects and statistics and how they can be distorted. But we already know you guys are aware of most of that. So we're not going to rehash any of that. We hope over the last few months that this COVID good news section has helped reduce some of your fears and maybe cleared up some of the exaggerated news. But all that being said, the virus is real. So wash your hands often, social distance when you can, and if you can't, wear a mask. And there's no reason to make a big spectacle about it. You can't win some argument. Just go about your day doing what you need to do and let it bother you less.
A few facts to consider. Over the 1.1 million people tested in the state of Utah since the beginning, almost 1 million of them tested negative. Roughly 90% of all the people tested since the beginning did not have the disease. Of the 3.2 million people living in Utah, 97% have not been infected. And of those that have been infected, 99.7% have recovered.
99.7% have recovered. So, again, wash your hands, social distance, wear a mask.
By the way, all of this information is gotten from?
All of this today was taken off of the Utah Department of Health website.
You can also find it on the CDC website.
That's right.
And the World Health Organization website. So these aren't just statistics that we're pulling out of the air. They're real. Of course, it doesn't make for good news to talk about the positive things. It's not scary and enlightening if they're not talking about, death rates and the things to be afraid of. But that's not good for our health. So let's focus on those things that reduce our anxiety.
Right. So Utah Department of Health has been tracking everything about the corona, and they're graphing it all. So you can visually see what's going on. And I will tell you that they graph each one of the counties separately, the southwest Utah, all five counties are graphed together. But if you look at those graphs, you'll see that in urban counties like Salt Lake County and Utah County, yes, there are, increases, significant increases in positive tests. And to a lesser degree in Davis and Weber County, those also have been rising. But most of the rest of the counties, relatively flat. Even here in southern Utah, southwest Utah, our graph isn't flat, but it's nothing like many other areas of the country where things are getting out of hand.
Isn't it funny how in Utah you get the Salt Lake area and they're each identified as very separate counties of importance, mm-hmm. and you get to southern Utah and they say, just clump them all together. And we end up having to follow the guidelines of these, bigger Salt Lake City areas. But the truth is we're doing pretty good. Southern Utah's pretty good.
It is, really. So just some senior information, kind of interesting factoids that we came across. Senior citizens are the fastest growing demographic on Facebook. Can you imagine that? Research studies show that they found 53% of Americans who are 65 or older are online, and 34% of those numbers are on Facebook or in similar social sites.
Okay, the being online part, that really surprised me because I hate to admit it, but you kind of stereotype the elderly mm-hmm. as not being able to navigate the internet, and yet they're the largest demographic.
Yeah.
Now, what I have found, though, is often they know exactly where they're going, right? They know how to enter and communicate with their loved ones through social medias. But what we have noticed through the phone calls that we get and the questions that are so common and relevant is what resources are available. And perhaps that's just that when you're dealing with a chronic illness, it's really hard to focus on anything other than the symptoms of your chronic illness and the devastating news that you have a chronic illness. So those are the times when people call us and just say, are there any resources available? And I'm happy to report there are a lot of resources available to you in the nation, in locally, in the county, and in the city. And most of them for the elderly are free. So please give us a call. Let us help find some resources available to you.
And we'll pitch in where we can. I mean, we're always offering services to people that need them because we know that that's critical here. You know, there are some other statistics that I think are important, although not necessarily really great. Older people are more prone to loneliness and depression and have a higher rate of suicide.
And that has to have increased tenfold during COVID, this pandemic.
Right. In 1997, this is a slightly old statistic, but 20% of all U.S. suicides were by individuals 65 and older. And I think that's something we didn't notice. You know, we think about teen suicide being, you know, the only thing, you know, or young adults. But in truth, senior citizens have a significant impact there. Yeah. So we want to try and do all that we can in this community to avoid any of those complications. So if you were listening last week, we stepped off of the medical healthcare category and went into other things that seniors have to deal with because senior life is complex and it's quite broad.
By the way, we had a lot of calls about last week's show. I guess it was just a reminder for those people that already had wills in place or, you know, old wills that now they're outdated, they hadn't really given thought to. Yeah, that's true. My life has really changed since I, you know, first put a will together. Some people hadn't done a will since their children were quite young, and they wanted to make sure that in the event that anything happened that their children were taken care of. But that meant by the time they were, you know, in their elder years, all of their assets and their dynamic had completely changed. So we had a lot of calls about, wow, that was a great reminder. Thanks. So we hope you, if you weren't listening last week, you're listening this week. And just know that updating your will is really, really easy, and it can be done for free, completely free. You can do it yourself. It's easy.
Right. Our goal in this is not to drive you to spend a lot of money or do anything else. It's really just to give you the power to take control of your own life. And once you go through this process, once you've read a will or two, you start to see how really easy it is to understand and comprehend and to integrate into your own life. This is not, you don't have to have a law degree. You don't have to go to law school for 4 years just to be able to interpret or understand what a will is intended to do. So maybe we've been putting it off because we've had a lot more fun things to do in our life, right? We just haven't had the time because we've been having so much fun. But now that we've been forced to stay home and we may have some more available time.
Do some remodeling, paint,
right.
Redecorate.
And we've accomplished all those tasks. It'd be great to put a little time towards accomplishing some of these other important things. And there is the possibility that maybe this idea of dealing with a will makes us uncomfortable. And so we've tried not to think about it. And we found other ways to distract ourselves.
But I can only say how empowering and how much anxiety is eliminated when we actually check things off our bucket list that we know need to be done. So let's take a moment before we get really, really busy with the holidays to focus on those things that are really, really important, like wills and those things that need to get done. Just take a moment to check them off that bucket list, and you'll be surprised at how proud you are of yourself and how much anxiety it'll relieve.
And if you don't feel you're proud enough of yourself, give us a call. We will be proud that you did this. We really appreciate, you know, the feedback and knowing that people are appreciate what we've been saying. So what we hope we're doing is giving you some control and eliminating the scary parts, getting you to be your own best advocate again. That's be your own best medical advocate, be your own best legal advocate. It doesn't mean you have to go it alone. It just means that you should be part of the process. And the more you participate in it, the better off you're going to be. So we want to provide a no pressure way to dip your toes into the water and not feel like you're drowning.
Right. So last week, Richard asked everybody to consider pulling that will out of your filing cabinet, taking a look at it and reminding yourself of what things have become outdated. Hopefully you took the opportunity to do that, but if you haven't, don't worry. It's not too late. You can give us a call if you have any questions or need help if you missed our show from last week. We're always happy to answer those questions. Just don't let fear be the reason you put it off. Again, once you sit back and read your will and update it, you'll readily see there was nothing to fear.
Right. And if you don't have a will, read somebody else's. You can find plenty of examples on the internet. You can do those things.
And since seniors are on the internet all the time, just pull up sample wills.
Yeah, sample will, free will. You know, there's plenty of things that will pop up. Go ahead and read through those. Don't pay for anything yet, and don't make any commitments. But that's what we're looking for here. Andy, at the end of the show last week, you made a comment that was great, and we wanted to bring that in.
Yeah. Really important reminder.
Yeah, so my mom passed away in June. Still miss her terribly. In fact, her birthday was yesterday, and I'd love to give her a call, and just, you know, a little birthday call, but obviously that's not happening right now. But one of the things that my mom was great at is she knew she was dying probably for a year or so. She had some lung issues. None of us wanted to believe it, of course. No, you're not dying, Mom. You know, and she would say things like, hey, I've got this ready for you. So when I go, you'll have it. And we're like, oh, you don't need that. And, you know how it is, kind of the denial for all of us. But she knew, and she was well prepared. One of the things that maybe you don't think about a lot, but is very, very important is when you talk about the internet, you talk about all the passwords that you need, whether it's your banking website, your credit card website, simple things like Facebook, or if people like to get on Twitter or whatever, you know, social sites that you're on. These are passwords that need to be written down somewhere. You can hide them. You can put them in, you know, some little book that you carry with you, whatever it is. But you've got to write these passwords down. They're absolutely critical. I know with my mom's life insurance, she had organized it so that we could find the numbers, not only the passwords, but the phone numbers, to make sure that these things happen. And my dad, of course, was distraught. He didn't want to have to deal with that. But we were able to go in, my wife and I, and find these numbers, find these passwords, get a hold of the right people, and get that stuff processed because my mom was so organized. So I highly urge everyone to make sure that you have those things in a central location.
That is so important. Another point to be made on that is, in your case, your dad was still alive.
Right.
So if she passes, then everything automatically passes over to him because both of their names were on all of the accounts and assets.
Right.
But what about when you have just one parent remaining? You need to have a power of attorney in place that transfers the rights over, and that's where we get back to wills. But even directly in advance, putting a secondary person on your accounts to make sure that there's no question or contesting of the wills, those things are so, so important and really easier to do than you think.
Right.
So just stay focused and get it done.
Yeah, go through and make that list. But you may forget a few of those sites that you've been on over the past 4 years that may not come up. So here's one other important point, and that is your email address. Make sure that somebody else has access to that, that they can get in. Because almost every site, if you can't remember a password, is going to use an email.
Yeah, if you can't remember a password, you click the link, they send you something to your email.
Right.
Right.
That you can't access.
Yeah. But what you may not find on some of those is the username. So those things are all important.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can just organize that and get that done, that's great. And today, that's kind of what we want to talk about. We're a little short on time, so we're going to go through this kind of quickly. But now that you've read some wills, and if you haven't, you still can. There's no problem. But we would recommend that you start organizing your thoughts. And the easiest way to do that is to just sit down and start writing some things down. So let's take the big ones off the table really quick. Accounts, you know, all of your financial accounts, your home, all of your large valuable items. Make a list of those just on a regular tablet. Start writing them down. Leave a couple of lines in between each of these items, but just start writing down all the things that you can think of that are big ticket items. And then go back and in those extra lines, fill out the details of it. You know, the address and the legal description of the property, who has the mortgage, if there's a mortgage on it, you know, what mortgage company it is, if it's your vehicle, you know, all of those things, just the VIN number and the title, so that information is now collated into something you can grab hold of and easily manage that. And you can always add to it. Once you've made that list, then we're going to recommend that you go through and start making a list of the less tracked items, those things that aren't necessarily licensed and titled, and they just are around your home. So when we're doing that, let's start with that that first step. What I would suggest is that you just go into one room and take a new sheet of paper and write furniture on it. And then just start going left to right all the way around the room and write down every piece of furniture. Okay? Just over there on the left-hand side, write it down. single item per line. And once you've done that, you may decide, hey, that's plenty. I've accomplished a lot, and that's a good place to go. So if that's the case, take a break. Enjoy yourself the rest of the day, but have a plan to go back and do the rest.
You know, we may not realize that marking down things like furniture and where you want those to go, or what decisions have to be made with those items are. But it's important to your loved ones after you pass. I don't think anybody would be surprised how many times that it brings up real emotional feelings between children and siblings, right down to you think, oh no, not my family. But it's the little things that sometimes get, caught into the works, the arguments. So if you already have a designated place or a desire for things, the other things, you're really taking a lot of burdens off of your kids too. Because it's overwhelming to walk into mom and dad's house and say, oh my gosh, there's 30 years of collectibles here. What do we do with it all? And at that emotional time, it's really hard to decide, do we want to keep this? Do we want to throw it away? Do we want to donate it? Is there anybody out there who wants it? Mm-hmm. But you might be surprised that a grandchild said to grandma, I really love this chair. It was the chair that I always sat in the house. And whatever it is, make sure that those things are detailed out, because you'd be surprised when it comes personally how important that is and what lasting memories and sweetness that holds for your loved ones.
Without a doubt. I remember somebody telling me that when their parents passed away, there was a big argument over the little bench that was in the house, but that was the bench that everybody sat on when they were fighting. The two of them had to sit together on that bench until they worked it out. And yet that was the thing that everybody thought, was so important to them. They cared about that. So we make that list of the furniture and put that on a list. And then you may want to pull out a few other pieces of paper and start talking and start listing some of those other things. A piece of paper for jewelry, a piece of paper for the pictures on the wall, things like that. And as you're going through.
Mementos and even your journals. Who's going to possess your journals?
Right.
And what's in them that you don't want people to see?
Yeah, that may be another part of this that you go through and start clearing out. But when you're doing this, go ahead and write some names on the other side of this piece of paper. You're not making this a permanent record, but at least give some thought to who you think might have use for that or really want it. And then once you have gone through that and made those lists in just that one room, you've accomplished great things. And if you go through each of your rooms and start putting those lists together, I think you're going to find that all of this comes together. And it's important that this is the homework that you can't get an attorney to do for you. If you were going to go to an attorney or somebody who does a will for you, they can't make that list of the important things and who they're going to. That's really the important part of the will that you have to do. So we're just trying to make it easy.
Mass general items, mass groupings.
Right.
But you get to do individualized groupings and write a name next to something that you think would be important to someone.
That's right. And so when you're going through this, don't forget to do the garage and maybe even outside. There may be some things outside. Just orderly go through your home and your life and start documenting these things, because that's what you're going to use in the next phase of this in developing your own will that's going to be actually useful and pertinent.
And don't forget to go through your garage.
We are almost out of time. So again, we are Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We want to be able to help everybody in this community understand that they have great opportunities for great care and that they have to be in control of their own health care. So
we're changing the image of hospice. Many of you understand what hospice has been in this community, but what if it could be far better? Give us a call for all of your questions and to find your senior resources. 435-477-6999. Thank you.